listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Hove. H to the OV. I used to move snowflakes by the OZ. I guess even back then you could call me CEO of the ROC. Ho, fresh out the fire pan into the fire, be the music biz number one supply. Fly did a piece of paper bearing my name, got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right, ho, not DOC but similar to them letters, no one can do it better. I check cheddar like a food inspector. My homie Strick told me, dude, finish your breakfast. So that's what I'ma do. Take it back to the dude with the Lexus. Fast forward the jewels and the necklace. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect this. Shoot at you actors like movie directors. It ain't a movie, dog. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Completing the week. Five shows. Who could have known?
We sure didn't.
No, we did not. But we rested and refreshed and ready to do some podcasting.
I napped. I was like, okay, I'm good to go now.
Mm-hmm. I cooked today. I made some chicken, sausage, peppers and potatoes.
That shit was motherfucking flames. That chicken was goddamn outstanding. I've been into them chicken thighs. I was like, nigga.
that was good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
They was delicious. I was over there on the chair eating.
I never made that one before. But yeah, so we are here to do some podcasting. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips. And you know, leave us 5-star reviews. Appreciate everybody that takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme.
I see somebody real talking about, I better stay. You goddamn right I'm gonna stay, because I'm trying to tell you, and I'm not bragging and I'm not putting other men to shame, but goddamn my husband can cook. So you know, it's one of them things where, you know, I don't have to show my ass or nothing like that for him to cook. And so it's just one of those things where I'm just very thankful that he is cooking. And I've seen him grow, I've seen him advance, I've seen him be more curious, I've seen him use different techniques, and because cooking is a hard process. Anybody can cook, but it's still a learning curve to it, you know, because a lot of times when you start cooking, I think a lot of people have a failure of failing. And me and Roger talked about this, because the way food is presented online on like HGTV and all these other places, everybody shows you their best pictures. They don't show you the shit that they fucked up, that they burned, that they didn't do right, that they didn't measure wrong, that was in edit. Like, they don't show you that shit. All they show you was ta-da, and next thing you know, that shit's on Instagram. So everybody think, if my food don't come out perfect, I can't cook. That's a goddamn lie.
And it's trial and error. And I know there's been meals where, you know, I try to do something different and learn, and sometimes if it fucks up, it's like, well, I guess we're going out to eat tonight because it didn't work out. Or sometimes, you know, even with this recipe, I thought of ways to make it better next time, even though I enjoyed it and I thought it was good. Like, next time I think I might brine the chicken.
Yes.
You know, I'm getting more curious in my like cooking too. Like, I watch more shows about cooking now. I really love Fish the Dish. I don't know why, but that's my favorite cooking show.
That dude will have, he talks about a lot of fish you ain't never heard before, and then he does these things with fish that I've never seen. And they're simple recipes. They're really, really simple recipes. And he did this thing where he was I want to say it was swordfish, and he was making like a pastry puff around it. Mm-hmm. And it was like it was swordfish Wellington. Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was wrapped the fish in prosciutto before he put the pastry around it, because he said you wanted something between the fish and the pastry. And what he did was he took parchment paper and put it in the bottom of the pan, and then he put oil over it, and he began to like brown the fish. And I didn't think about it, but with parchment paper, a lot of people that bake use that, because a lot of times your cookies and shit don't stick when you use that. Right. And so I wouldn't even have thought about using it in the pan, because he fried it up, and then he took it and then he put it in an oven to finish off, you know, to finish off the cooking process. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy shit, don't think I won't be doing that. Ain't nothing worse than you doing something and the shit gets stuck to the bottom of the pan, you can't flip it or some shit. I was like, I got you, dog.
Yeah, this is not an advertisement, but I love Fish the Dish too, because it's short.
Right.
And they make like three things and sometimes when you add the size in six things in 30 minutes. So you got 30 minute episodes. Now I know it probably takes a little longer to cook it at home, but
right,
but still, like, he's like, these are the basic instructions. And the thing I watch it for is really give myself ideas to be like, okay, so that's how you can like make a salad out of that, or this is how a way you can make your slaw, or, you know. And then with like the cooking, like meal kits and stuff, it gives me ideas and it teaches me basic things like, oh, this is how I can pickle something. I didn't know how to pickle things before this. How to make a crema, which is such a simple thing, but
ain't it though?
You know, you just wouldn't, you know, I just never thought of it. I was just like, oh yeah, I put some sour cream on these tacos, and I'm like, you could take some sour cream, a little bit of water, some sriracha,
some chives.
Or some, you know, put some zest in there or some shit, stir it up, put that on your tacos, and then set it off. And it's just such a, it takes a couple extra minutes, but it's something I would have never even thought of. I'm used to going to Taco Bell, putting mild sauce on it
and calling it a day.
Yeah. And I don't know what this episode has turned into to start off.
It don't matter. All I know. Yes!
Your lips ain't smacking,
hey,
it ain't good. If your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. If your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. If your lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. So many awesome dishes, so delicious. On a mission, what we're wishing
for,
find it,
food for the soul and enjoyment.
Clearing is our God, and He will
help us.
No, lips ain't smacking, it ain't good. All right, I don't know how that. I don't know that I just turned it. I didn't mean to turn the whole show into that. I just wanted to mention that
no,
I cooked.
That's okay.
And I do appreciate you bragging on me. Thank you. And shout out to Felt Five for making that dope theme song.
That hot beat. Yes. My thing is this. I feel like, you ought to be the number one fan of your mate. I mean, when I mean number one, I mean the number one fan, the number one stan. You better show up at every goddamn thing, particularly if it's real love there and you ain't hurting nobody or harming nobody or breaking the law. Honey, I will be there 125% in everything that you do.
Well, thank you. And you know, I can tell when I did a good job when you cleaned the plate. I'm like, all right, that was a good one. You know, all right, let's get into the news. All kinds of stuff happening. It's a random Wednesday. There's a bunch of shit to talk about. Yesterday we talked about Trump being sued over blocking people on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of y'all were like, yes, fuck that nigga.
Yep, because I got him blocked.
And he shouldn't be able to block people. He's the president and he's elected official, and we should be able to say whatever the fuck we want to say to that man. Can't block people because they don't like you and shit. Well, now Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is being sued. Former Democratic New York Assemblyman Dove Heikind filed a lawsuit against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in federal court on Tuesday for blocking users on Twitter based on their personal viewpoints, following a federal appeals court ruling earlier in the day barring President Trump from doing the same. Now, this person's a former Democrat. Wow. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has blocked me on Twitter yesterday, apparently because of my critique of her tweets and policies have been too stinging, Heikind said in a statement announcing the suit, which was filed in the Eastern District of New York, obtained by Fox News. Can we talk about our politicians have, they make too much money. You had the term and the money to sue this woman? Because you got blocked. That's the next level. Okay, do what everybody else does. Log out, read a tweet from your other account or something. Like, come on now. Are we not civilized here? We suing people because you got blocked? Damn, what a snowflake. The First Amendment prohibits discrimination by government actors against a person's free speech based on his or her viewpoints. So does this mean, like, she has to unblock, like, all the people that are, like, giving her death threats?
Right. Because that's not, is that just a political thing?
And when did, See, this is one of those things where it's a slippery fucking slope, man. Mm-hmm. When did we decide social media was actually the same as free speech?
Right.
Because the whole fucking time I've been on there, it has not been that.
Mm-mm.
Not for everybody.
Mm-mm.
You can get blocked and banned for doing a bunch of shit. And everybody's account is their fucking account.
Right.
And if they decide they don't want to hear what you have to say, they get to fucking do that. And the same way that I was kind of like, when they did it with Trump, I'm like, I mean, I guess because he's the president, but it just seems kind of like it's more telling that he reads all his responses than it is that he blocks people, because every Correct. Single person on social media, if they're on there enough time, has blocked somebody.
Yes, they have.
I'm sure, shit, every once in a while I click on somebody's name, they got me blocked, I don't even know this motherfucker.
Ain't communicate, ain't said a fucking word.
We ain't never had no interactions. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I said about them, nothing they could say about me. They just decided I don't like something about that dude. I don't want to see his tweets no more. And you know what? That's cool. Facebook, I don't take it personal either. Like,
people unfriend me, unfollow me, what? I don't care.
There are people on Facebook that I just can't be friends with. I don't even, if I saw them in the street, I'd dap them up and keep them moving. We just can't be friends. We can't be cool. Like, you operate on a whole different level than the way I get down. That should be okay. Man, imagine if they could sue you. Well, I get to be your Facebook friend. I get to follow you. I get to tweet at you. You have to read what I have to say. That's such a weird fucking thing. It was weird when it was Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird today.
Yeah, because with Trump, the precedent has been set. Like that's the standard now. And so it's one of those things where people feel like, if you are a politician, I should have the right to say just whatever I want to you, and you should just have to deal with it.
Right.
And you know, it might be where instead of blocking, you just got to just mute people.
And the thing is, she has two accounts. One that's for her official government account, Rep AOC, and one is her personal account.
Yeah, personal is different.
Her personal account, though, is the one that she discusses a lot of politics and engages with constituents and colleagues all the time. So I'm sure he's gonna say, well, either one is there, she's using both as her official capacity as a representative, she gonna have to do something about this, you know. So yeah, for example, the top post pin tweet to her private, to her, you know, her account for her private use, mm-hmm. is still it says, a Green New Deal is our plan for a world and a future worth fighting for. On July 5th, she wrote a Vermont Senator Sanders, thank you at Senator Sanders, it's an honor to work alongside you and millions of other people fight for education, healthcare, living wages rights. So she can't, he's basically saying she's not gonna be able to use the argument of, I didn't block you on my government account. He's like, it don't matter, you do work on both of them. Crazy, he was a former Democrat. He was speaking to Fox News, and he added that in addition to himself, several others, including journalists, have been blocked entirely from viewing or interacting with her tweets, which is bullshit, because you can
see her shit. It's public.
Yeah.
Just literally log out, search her name. You don't even have to have an account. Just pull a name up, all her shit to come up.
You know what else is bullshit? You can mute the person, and then the lawsuit won't happen. So what's the fucking point? So I can mute you, which is essentially the same thing on my end. I can't see what you're saying to me.
Right.
And you'll never really have to know. So why are you, like, it's the same functionality. Are you going to be able to sue for that too? She muted me, Your Honor.
Because the thing is, that's kind of what Twitter wanted to make blocking. Mm-hmm. Like, and niggas had a fucking fit because people just want everybody to know they blocked them. Twitter, they should have just rolled it out. Twitter literally was going to make blocking a form of muting. When I block you and mute you, you never know. There's no sign. There's nothing to be like, hey. But because people want to acknowledge that they blocked you, egos and shit like that, this is the end result of people going, I don't feel like you should block me.
All right.
Because everybody thinks that they have the right to tell every fucking body how they feel. Entitlement.
Everybody got social media entitlement, man. The shit is real. It's like, I get to say and do whatever the fuck I feel like, and you should have to take it. You should have to see it.
Right. Only because they're not the ones being harassed.
What else happened in the news? A metal straw impaled a UK woman's brain and killed her.
I've been seeing a lot of those. How people been trying to get out of plastic straws and shit like that. It's metal. It's metal.
Yeah, so they want to, they've been trying to use alternatives to metal straws a lot. It's become a huge issue because the disabled community has been like, hey,
that was the point.
Many of us need these straws
to bend
for reasons that are like health related and stuff like that.
Right.
Now I will say, I kind of do feel like a lot of people are using that argument to then say, but they're not disabled and they're not really thinking of disabled people. They really just want to continue to use the plastic straws.
Correct.
To which I say, just say that. You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to be seen as a bad person. So you tell somebody plastic straws are bad, they will go, well, yeah, I would love to use something else, but disabled people. But there's a lot of people that I think are making that case, but they're, that's not their issue.
Mm-mm.
And they're not really advocating for it in a serious way. They just don't want to give up them plastic straws.
Right. They saying fuck the environment.
Yeah. But let's take them out of the equation. But I think that's a vast majority of people.
Correct.
There's other arguments against the other shit that they have, the other straws they suggested. They like pasta as a straw. It melts in like hot water and shit. It's
pasta.
Yes.
You have a cooked straw? What the fuck is this?
Paper straws, which I've used. I fucking hate paper straws. Paper straws
are goddamn terrible.
They dissolve, and pieces of them can come up through the straw.
Right.
Choking you and shit. I don't like that shit.
I'd be like, once I realize that, let me just sip off the edge of the cup. Fuck it.
I normally do, to be honest. Like, if we go to, like, restaurants stop giving straws in a lot of cases now.
Yeah, they're doing the shoot.
And you have to ask for it.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't think them couple of straws everybody's using is going to kill people or whatever, mm-hmm. Destroy the world or whatever. But, okay, cool. So if you don't give me a straw at my table, I normally don't even ask for one and just sip out of the drink. I don't give a fuck. Karen would normally ask for one, and when she asks for one, they put two on the table.
Right.
You know, but it just in general, I don't really care one way or the other. It feels like one of those things that's very performative, like, you know, something where people get to judge each other, like, this motherfucker ain't got no motherfucking straw. So this woman apparently collapsed in her kitchen while holding a glass, and the 10-inch steel straw went through her left eye socket and pierced her brain on some Final Destination shit.
Oh!
Yeah.
Cause at the end of the day, it's metal.
Right. And I doubt after hearing that most of us are gonna use metal straws now.
Yeah, because now they got this thing where you can actually buy them and keep them and like take them to the restaurant yourself. Yeah. Almost like your own chopsticks.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a freak one in a billion accident, but you gotta consider a lot of people already didn't want to do it. They were already leaning towards, I'm never gonna use a metal straw. Yeah. And now after this, it's the last straw.
Yeah, the only way you're gonna survive that, you gotta be Magneto.
I don't know what to do with that. I mean, mm-mm. I don't think it's this is also one of those things that's probably not I know she died and I know it's sad, but this is probably not a thing that is likely enough to occur to be used as a case against the use of metal straws in general. But
you show me they can cut me and harm me.
Yeah, but it's probably not this is one of those things where like their metal straw LLC is not gonna get sued for billions of dollars because people are gonna just be like, yo, metal straws is killing everybody using metal straws is dying. That's not gonna happen. So it's people will use this to justify their already bias against the metal straws, but I don't know, man. To me, it's just plastic straws like the better straws. I don't know what
until
to tell you
until they come up with a good alternative and don't look like metal is it.
Yeah,
y'all can't do nothing close to plastic that's recyclable. All these mines out here,
right? So I mean, I hate that it happened to her. I guess you could say that sucks. let's see, speaking of the last straw, podcast beef on these streets, y'all. That's right, we got some podcast beef, the realest beef in the world. People go to prison over podcast beef all the time, okay? is not a game. Mm-mm. Tax Stone went to jail, man. Podcast beef is real. Okay. And today is no exception, man. We got some podcast beef between Joe Budden and Crystal from The Read. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm-mm. Earlier this week, new details surfaced of ASAP Rocky's condition in Sweden following his arrest over June 30th street brawl after the Swedish Supreme Court rejected the rapper's appeal for release. Sources revealed that he's reportedly being held in deplorable conditions. We talked about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I won't front, I do find it ironic that niggas was prison abolition last week, like on Thursday, and now it's it was Tuesday of this week, and niggas was on some good stay in jail, keep him, don't free this nigga. If you can't laugh at yourself, fuck you. I'm sorry, that's funny.
Yeah, like, yeah. I seen it.
We didn't want to see that black girl go to jail over no ice cream. Cool, I get you. I didn't want to see it either, to be honest, especially when I found out she wasn't even an adult, like, you know. But motherfuckers turn that shit into like no one should ever go to jail. And I'm like, why are you going too far? Why are you going too far? You don't even believe that.
No, you don't.
You know you want R. Kelly's ass in jail. Stop lying to me.
Same thing with Bill Cosby.
Yes, don't lie to me. It's okay. I trust me. I trust you. I trust your judgment. Some niggas need jail and some niggas don't. It's cool, but everybody had to go overboard to the like, you always want to lock people up shit. And it was like, guys, some people need to be locked up. Come on, guys. Come on. Anyway, so so Joe Budden was trying to make this point on his show, his podcast, saying that he thought that that basically Crystal, he didn't say her name though.
No,
I did hear the clip and he didn't say her name, but I mean, I guess people assumed it was her, and she was going back at him on Twitter as if it was about her. And the other part I'll add to this is we don't really know what the fuck could have happened between them.
The
we don't know how
the scenes
they,
it's not public.
Yeah, maybe they already don't fuck with each other.
Right.
Maybe some other podcasting type shit going on, you know. I don't know.
Mm-mm.
So you never know. People air shit out and we just see the part that gets aired out.
Right.
You could have been not fucking with this nigga. Could have been one of them people where it's like, I know I have them in my mind where I'm like, as long as this motherfucker don't never say nothing to me, we good.
We Gucci.
The second this motherfucker come out their mouth, it's both barrels and fuck them. And everybody just gonna have to think I'm a mean person, right? Like, we all have those people.
Right.
So ASAP Rocky has a bunch of famous friends. One of them is Joe Budden. And he was basically, supportive of him, you know. Now, a lot of people brought up ASAP's old, like, anti-black, anti-Ferguson, like, I'm a young rich nigga ass quotes. You know what I'm talking about? Those, we've all seen those quotes, guys. Those, like, you know, this black people shit. What this got to do with me type of quotes? And so people been bringing them up. Like, nigga, now you in jail. Now you know what people was talking about. Apparently she, I thought of this when I heard about ASAP Rocky's situation in Sweden. The Read host, Crystal wrote with a screenshot of Rocky's statement, which read, I'm just gonna stay black and die. Why? Because I'm black. So every time something happened, because I'm black, I gotta stand up. I don't want to talk about no fucking Ferguson and shit. Cause I don't live over there. I live in fucking Soho and Beverly Hills. I can't relate. He was like, I live in bitches drawers and all this shit. I saw that quote. I was just shaking my head because I'm like, it is young, ignorant, rich nigga shit that he's saying.
Correct.
And yeah, I personally don't like go. I don't celebrate the dude going to jail, even mm-hmm. with that being, you know, ostensibly offensive to me. I think
right.
It is offensive what he said. I think what he said is fucked up. But people get off really heavy on the internet of being like, this motherfucker said this and now it's fucked them forever and the worst things happen to them, even if it goes against everything I say I stand for.
Correct.
Fuck it. Just one day later, Joe Budden took this podcast to call out everyone who brought up the old remark. Although he acknowledged that the statement was out of line, he said, "I don't like that this is coming up now. I don't think it adds anything to the narrative, nor does it change how I feel. If it changes how you feel, then you should look inside your heart." He continued, "He's in a real fucked up situation over there. How I feel about that is not altered by how he feels about anything. That's so nasty on Twitter. But that nasty ass bum ass homegirl, I seen her put it out. I was like, you niggas that be preaching this pro black shit but get evil in a heartbeat. Woo." So I'm guessing people are saying that that's about crystals. So that's somebody,
so many people commented on it.
Yeah. And people did hit her up on Twitter saying he said this about you. So if that is shit that he said, then yeah, she went in on him. And like I said, maybe she knew it was about her on some, just like, this nigga don't like me, I don't like this nigga, and
right,
I figured he would say some shit, you know. Now why he picked her out of all the people that retweeted that shit, because I saw a lot of people retweet that shit, I don't know, you know. Could be he don't like her, could be because she's a black woman and she's queer, could be because Joe Budden does definitely have issues with black women, period. Could be because she's a podcaster that he feels like is doing better than him. Could be a lot of reasons. I don't know.
Don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, I know enough to know that I don't know. But this is the person he picked to put it all on, you know? It's also why, remember that person wrote in, like, "Rod, how you even know this be the same people?" And I said, I don't name the people on the show when I see some hypocritical bullshit, because I don't want, one, it's about the bigger point, but two, this. You start dropping all this hot fire about people, and now it's like, well, hold up, put two and two together. Yo, you talking about so-and-so.
Correct.
You know, and now you got problems when you really could have been making a bigger point about, like, the hypocrisy of all these people.
In general.
In general, that are kind of, you know, that go wishy-washy.
Because it's a lot of people.
Right, and Joe Budden is no exception to this wishy-washy-ass hypocritical shit, because this dude also has a past. And, mm-hmm. of course, he would like people to forget the past of the dude currently in trouble that is his friend. Of course he like that. We pick and choose who we advocate for. All of us do. It's not, no one is immune to this. We have certain people we feel kinship with, whether they're our friends, whether we identify with the choices they made, the life they live, the mistakes they've made, all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like he identifies with A$AP Rocky and whatever mistakes this dude has made. And so now you have a bunch of people going, defending him in a way that they might not have for somebody else.
Agreed.
You know, a lot of black men do this for, like, other black men. You know, it's, hey, free Meek Mill, you know, free the, you know, that kind of shit. It's like, we're not necessarily as going to bat for just any and everybody, you know. And collectively, you know, every group does this. I don't want to just put it on black men. I'm mm-hmm. saying there's black women that want the ice cream liquor girl free. And then some white person did it and was like, now this motherfucker can go to jail though, right? Like, we all have our fucking, like, tribalism moments, right? So yeah, he said this shit. It got back to Crystal. She said, "Laugh my fucking ass off. I know all about how Budden's bitch ass is steam pressed over me and our show. Nigga ought to be glad I paved the way for him."
I mean, do you got the right beat? I don't think that's the right beat you need to be playing.
Oh, well, I don't have a, it's not a speech.
Okay.
It's not a speech.
Oh, my bad.
It's just a couple tweets, Karen. If she was giving a speech, I'd put that ether beat under it. And then he responded, "Your show died long ago and you're in a bunch of bad deals because your business acumen is in the trash, but I guess cook, sis." He put that sis on there. You know, that's when niggas is getting
sassy.
When they feeling themselves. He put that sis on there. So he fired a shot back. And then she said, "I am not talking about his goofy ass on my bigger, longer running, more money making, coming to TV this fall show. He can get these tweets though." She finished after retweeting a comment about Budden's alleged domestic violence incident with Esther Baxter. Yep. That's the thing, man. Like, Joe has rebranded himself in the last couple years. Mm-hmm. It has been weird to watch as somebody that we've talked about, like, just different shit he's gotten into, things that I thought would stick to him more than this.
That shit,
but I've seen people make complete excuses for, you know, domestic violence stuff he rapped about doing, not even stuff that like, oh wow, he was accused of this and he didn't do it, like he's, like, yo, you beat somebody into a miscarriage, you know, like you had more than one woman accuse you of domestic violence, and he just get, you know, like with most men, hey, I'm older now, I changed, I get to rebrand myself as a good guy because I decided, and you know, the world has kind of gone along with it. He came back to relevance and prominence through being a critic of rap, is, you know, and famously getting in beefs with rappers that would like Drake and Migos and shit. Like, he came back to prominence in a way that most, I mean, nobody gets canceled, but he came back to prominence in a way that just it's almost like the other shit never even happened,
right? Also, Love and Hip Hop kind of brought up his career too.
Yeah, and I guess it makes sense that, you know, he would be like, yeah, so we need to forgive, and it doesn't matter what people did, you gotta let it go. Which, you know, interesting which comments and things we're supposed to let go, right? Which targets and which groups, but cool. Like, if you can stay consistent, then I can get with that, because I'm just talking about consistency. But I don't know that he's, you know, that consistent with this kind of shit. Seems like you advocate for your friends, your homies, but that empathy just ain't extended to every group. It's not extended to every person, just a certain type of dude. They've been at odds for some time now, with fans noticing Crystal's disdain for the former rapper through her reads, but the tension came to a head at the Roots picnic after fans noticed both the Reed and Joe Budden podcast on the bill. While some questioned how the event would go off without a hitch with both acts on the bill, prior to the event, the Reed announced that they pulled out, raising eyebrows for some neutral listeners. Yeah, it's wild with podcast beef, because like, it's such a small world, you gonna run into each other. Right. But yeah, you know, this is that thing where I understand the idea of you want consistency, and I do think it's heavily hypocritical for all the people that are, you know, super militant and pro-black and, you know, da 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 da, to be like, haha, that nigga's in jail, I'm happy that he's in jail in Sweden in inhumane conditions. And then at the same time to be like, I'm against da da da. I do understand that's hypocritical, you know. But everybody's kind of a hypocrite, man. I got my people. If you told me Bill Cosby was living in a shit stained room, I wouldn't feel bad. Mm-hmm. Now I don't really fuck with A$AP Rocky on the level of knowing what exactly he's done. That, you know, it must be other things he must have done to be this fucking like persona non grata with people, because I mean, those Ferguson comments are atrocious. I can't imagine, I mean, maybe that's it, but I just can't imagine that, you know, people been holding on that for that long, and to the point where they have no sympathy for him being in prison in another country in inhumane conditions, you know. But I feel them. I understand. You hate to see it, you know, you hate to see it, but nigga, you get that nigga wake up moment, man, and black people gonna always be on the side of you getting that moment. You can't be out here doing, I'm not like one of those Negroes, you can't be out here just acting like it doesn't matter because you're rich and all this shit, because when you get that moment, no matter what, we're all gonna be like, well,
I am a young black rich. If that don't let you know that America understand black matter these days, I don't know what it is. Don't come at me with that dumb, man. My life matter, especially to my.
Yeah, you say some shit like that, and I hate to say it, but when you get your moment, everybody's gonna be like, touchdown dancing. It's a human emotion, so.
Yep, that's why I watch things from afar.
Yep. So but yeah, I don't know, as a podcast creator, I've just like looked at Joe Budden's rise and been like, wow, like, you know, but you know what it is, why he can rise like that, to be fair, it's kind of the the same thing as with like Charlamagne and stuff. Mm-hmm. His fan base just don't care about that shit.
No, they don't.
Like all that, all the woke shit, all the, you know, women's rights and feminism, they don't care. Mm-mm. And he gets to be an avatar for those people.
And it's a lot of people that don't care.
Right. And as long as he's talking about, you know, who's whack and who's not in hip hop or whatever, I mean, he gonna have a fan base, man. You don't, everybody doing this, you know, is really doing themselves. And, there's an audience out there for people that, you know, there's an audience out there for people that are gonna overlook, like, oh, this dude has been abusive, you know.
Yes,
that's the audience to cultivate. And yeah, I don't know, but yeah, Crystal was fucking shots, pow pow, came to the wrong fight. I'm assuming he gonna talk about her on his podcast, and it sound like they're not gonna talk about him on the read, which is smart.
Agreed.
You know, but we'll see. You never know. People human. You keep going at somebody long enough, they might say some shit. Especially on Twitter, because people be running back to you with the report every day. Like, they said this about your ass, you know. Can you hear it? Sonic devices play high-pitched noises to repel teens. In Philadelphia, 30 parks and recreation centers are outfitted with a small speaker called Mosquito. It blares a constant high-pitched ringing noise all night long, but one that only teenagers and young adults can hear. Anyone over the age of 25 is supposed to be immune because basically their ear cells have started dying off.
Oh shit, my ear cells die?
Mm-hmm. So, Philadelphia park officials have been installing the device since 2014, intending to shoo rowdy youth from the premises. It's not the only U.S. city to do so. Mosquito's Vancouver's based manufacturing Moving Sound Technologies works with roughly 20 park departments around the country to implement youth repellent devices. It's intended to prevent loitering and vandalism by teens and young adults at public facilities. But some say this age-based targeting is a form of prejudice. Yep, makes me wonder which targets, which parks, what kind of people go there.
Correct.
Philadelphia City Council member Helen Jim refers to the devices as sonic weapons, and she's working to get them removed. In a city that is trying to address gun violence and safe spaces for young people, how dare we come up with ideas that are funded by taxpayer dollars to turn young people away from the very places that we created for them? It does feel a little discriminatory against teens, agreed 17-year-old Philadelphia resident Lamar Reed. It makes us feel like animals. Not all teens are bad just because we want to go outside for a breath of fresh air at night. Despite the intended 13 to 25 year old target range, 27-year-old Mary Kate Reeks says she can hear the mosquito installed a few blocks from her Fishtown home. It gives her headaches when she strolls the neighborhood, she said. Yeah, what about people who's like live there and they're got like teenage kids and shit, or they're 24 or 25 or whatever? What about them? It's almost more like a feeling than a sound. It's kind of in the back of your head, at least for me. It gives me a headache if I'm near it for too long, so I usually skip around this block or walk very quickly down it. Reeks has been nearing her breaking point. She and her housemates have been brainstorming a door knocking plan to organize the neighborhood against the device and work to get it removed.
Right, because you're aiming it for them. Like I said, what happened if you have people with extra sensitive hearing? You know, people that sound funny might have hearing disorders that might be older, that might actually pick up on, because you're talking about wave frequencies basically. Mm-hmm. And you know, you affect things. And like somebody said, I want to know what park you're listening to. Are you putting this in the skate parks where they do the skateboards? Are you putting it there in the middle of the night?
Right, where? And what was happening in those parks that you like, do you even have stats to prove that it changed anything?
Right.
You know, like, oh well, now the parks are, you know, there's no more graffiti or something like that. Like, I would like to see, you know, someone let us know, like, what was the results they expected and what happened.
Yeah, you putting this shit out here like you do bats.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, why don't they do mosquito shit to eat you up, not the people?
Right.
You won't do something good.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else happened? Recreational marijuana legalization is tied to a decline in teens using pot. So teens are now trending down from using weed now that it's been legalized in a lot of places.
Probably because it ain't cool no more.
An 8% drop in the number of high schoolers who said they used marijuana in the last 30 days, and 9% in the number who said they used it at least 10 times in the last 30 days, according to one study from the medical journal JAMA Pediatrics.
Yeah, it's not a form of rebellion. Like somebody said, mom and dad smoke it, so the fuck I look like smoking with mom and dad.
So it's possible. I mean, it was only a study about a month or whatever, but I mean, it's possible that, you know, I think part of it being taboo and rebellious is one of the reasons that people smoke pot and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, this is illegal. I'm not supposed to be doing this. You know, that being said, isn't it still illegal for certain teens to smoke pot because is there an age limit to it? Like, don't you gotta be a certain age before you can smoke weed?
I don't know if it's 18, 21, but yeah, it's an age limit to it.
Yeah, so it still, like, seem like it could still be deemed rebellious, but I guess maybe it's not as much when, I don't know, maybe there's something about it being legal that made it go down for certain people, I don't know. It must be like prohibition. When we had prohibition, motherfucking drinking went through the roof, and then you just say, okay, you can drink, but you gotta follow these laws, and then drinking goes down some, but it's still, you know, still people are still doing it.
Of course.
Let's see. Speaking of drugs, under a new North Carolina law, drug dealers could be charged with second degree murder. A drug dealer who illegally sells a controlled substance that causes someone's death could be charged with second degree murder in North Carolina.
How can you prove this?
Under this new proposed law, the Death by Distribution Act, signed in law Monday by Governor Roy Cooper, allows prosecutors to charge dealers with a Class B2 felony, which carries a penalty of up to 40 years in prison if they have a previous unlawful distribution conviction. If not, they could face a Class C felony charge, which includes other crimes such as first-degree kidnapping, and carries a maximum of 20 years in prison. The law takes effect December 1st. I mean, how did they prove that you sold them the drugs? I mean, how did they catch anyone selling drugs, I guess? I guess they figure out, like, where this person got the drugs from, who is their drug dealer, you know, maybe you got it saved in your phone, maybe you're just a known associate, you know, but yeah, I guess if they can figure out, you know, you're where they got the drugs, they can just fucking do that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like I said, it's a catch 22 with that, because all of a sudden you just gonna pin some shit on a drug dealer because you sold them drugs. Like, they might have hit five of us up. How you know mine is the one that killed them? You don't know this.
Yeah, how come, you know, how come you don't have, like, prescription drugs on here?
Right, wrong, you got these fucking doctors.
What about guns?
Right,
what if I sell somebody a gun and they kill somebody or kill themselves or whatever? Can I get in trouble for that?
Right, and the thing about this, because of the laws, and the laws fucked up and everything is racist, mm-hmm. I could just see them going after a bunch of black people.
Me too. Here's the thing that I'm thinking though, Karen. You know why they're passing this law?
Why?
Because white people die.
Agree. Okay, right, and it's meth.
I don't,
areas out there in the middle of Timbuktu, nowhere up in the mountains, yes.
Yeah, I'm not saying how the law will be used. I think it'll probably still be used against some black people and shit. I'm sure there'll be somebody OD some heroin or coke, and they'll find a black drug dealer and that motherfucker get the books on them. But they're really doing this to discourage people from selling to white people, because white people are ODing at such massive rates right now.
Right, because drugs, it ain't like drugs is brand fucking new to the state.
Right. The other thing is, people believe that this could prevent people from calling 911 when someone's overdosing.
Right.
Like, oh, you're ODing, I gave you some drugs, I don't want to be involved in this criminal investigation. Let me clean up all my shit and leave and let you die here and get rid of my, you know, anything that shows that we were related to each other and I gave you some drugs.
Agreed.
You know, so the final version of the bill does state nothing in this section shall be construed or restrict or interfere with the rights and immunities provided under the Good Samaritan law. Research by the CDC shows that any law that threatens or increases the fear that bystanders will be incarcerated or criminalized decreases the likelihood of bystanders contacting 911 at the scene of an overdose. So
it don't matter the way you wrote the law, people gonna say fuck that. I don't know if you be like fuck it, yeah, you a good Samaritan, you called, but you also sold the drugs, you're under arrest.
The majority of those charged under this law in other states that already have it are not high-end traffickers that they are targeting. There's no evidence that these laws are in fact effective at curtailing drug trafficking. I agree. All of these, like, let's try to scare people out of doing drugs laws, they don't work. If the crack epidemic didn't prove that, I don't know what else can happen.
Right.
And I think Roy Cooper's a Democrat too.
He is.
you know, this is white fear about white people,
right,
being fucking dying from drugs. That's all it is. Like,
they still gonna die, and the thing is,
because it's drugs, they sell themselves.
They come in and everybody buy them up because they drugs.
Right, drug dealers ain't forcing drugs on nobody. Like,
no,
these motherfuckers want to get high, and if you OD like that, you really wants to get high. Like, it's, you know, it's not like the drug dealer is the one being like, well, please go OD, customer, I would hate for you to come back, you know,
and buy more drugs.
So anyway, I'm pretty sure this is about white people.
Yes, but the law is gonna be talking to us, but yes.
A 66-year-old Florida resident, Jung-Soon Whipcha, was arrested on Monday and charged with criminal mischief and tampering with consumer products after she was caught spitting in a store's ice cream and then peeing into an ice cream churning bucket and wiping her nose in the containers.
Where was she at the facility?
At Indian Shores Food Market.
I told y'all, this motherfucking shit needs to stop. And I tell Roger this in the car. Say what you want. One of these companies ain't gonna give a fuck about y'all goddamn fake outrage. And they gonna fucking sue the pants off of some goddamn body. Because they gonna be like, I'm tired of y'all bullshit. This got to stop. What does somebody have to do? Wipe shit on the side before somebody goes, this is too goddamn much?
Karen, I know what you're saying. But I personally think she just needs a stern hand and a good lecture. And we can let it go about our way, okay? Because I'm saying is, as a prison abolitionist, I don't want to see.
Y'all know where I stand. Lock them up. Throw away the key.
What she is doing is harmless pranks, okay?
Don't fuck with my food.
She clearly needs help. Okay? She clearly needs some counseling.
Nope.
And we can just have
somebody gonna die. Somebody gonna die.
Wow, you black people love to see people locked up. Wow. Joe Budden was right. Maybe it was you he was talking about on the podcast. Everybody think it's Crystal. Maybe it was really you the whole time. You just love to see people go to jail for tampering with food products and that could possibly contaminate the populace. Wow, Karen.
I care about my safety. You might be too dumb to realize that and call everything a fucking prank, but there are some pranks that ain't goddamn pranks.
Wow. Where's the accountability, Karen?
Prank this. Laugh your ass in jail. When they lock you in there, have a hearty har 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 har. All the jokes you want locked up.
Don't worry, y'all. She bought the ice cream, so.
I don't give a fuck if she purchased it or not.
Oh. Okay, well, actually, she
didn't. I don't care nothing about your receipts.
Yeah.
This is one time receipts don't matter to me.
The company had to get rid of $2,000 worth of product after the incident.
Right, because that's the thing. You costing them money.
And closed for 5 days.
You cost them money. One of these companies are going to say, fuck y'all. Because you know what, man, and I feel like this. There are some things on Twitter that happened on Twitter and some outrages that actually move into the real world. But most of y'all niggas that protest on Twitter ain't doing the motherfucking thing. Y'all still gonna buy these products. Y'all still gonna do this shit. You are. Stop fucking lying. You are. And when companies catch on and realize that y'all protests don't mean shit because y'all don't really know how to organize and how to protest and how to say and how to properly boycott as far as making an impact, demanding a change, making a list. When they make that change, go back. You don't mean it. You never stop buying or you never purchased it in the first place. It means you're forecotting. When they learn that's what the average nigga's doing, y'all just outrage for the sake of being outraged. And then you have people that are contrary for the fucking sake of being contrary. And they don't even believe the shit that they're going for. They're just saying it because, you know, they want the smoke or they just want to argue with people up and down the timeline. One of these companies is going to get smart and they're going to say, fuck it. Here's a lawsuit. You gonna learn today. We want all the goddamn smoke. You gonna pay us for the product we had to destroy. You gonna pay us for our employees' time. You gonna pay us for our stocks and bonds and shit that dropped because you didn't have enough goddamn common sense to know that you don't do this bullshit.
Okay, but imagine it was a little black girl that did this.
Don't care. I don't see color. I'm goddamn colorblind.
I thought the bitch was white. God damn it! I thought the bitch was white!
don't give a rat's ass. Mm-mm. Don't see color, creed, sex, orient. I don't care.
All right.
Lock them all up.
Jesus. All right. Wow. I guess it's just a Republican podcast now. Just all this incarceration to the privatized prison system just because people don't know how to treat ice cream. That is so sad.
Mm-hmm. Privatized.
Somebody take a little bit of pee in the ice cream. Wow.
Just like you should have privatized that piss to yourself and went to a toilet like you had the fucking common sense to do. Once you piss, you made it public. So yes, lock her up.
Girl, this is nothing but patriarchal capitalism that you talking about right now. This is white supremacy you advocating on this show, and I can't stand behind it. Okay, people should be able to go into the grocery store, do whatever they want to the ice cream.
Nope.
Put it back on the shelf.
Nope.
And you know, maybe they get a $25 fine. Mm-mm. You know, maybe. Mm-mm. Maybe. Mm-mm. You know, we send them to a class or something.
Nope, don't care. You let a motherfucker come in your house and open your freezer and go in there and lick your ice cream and piss in your food that you done cooked. You let them do that. Let me see, will you still have the same attitude? You'll be like, bitch, lock them up too.
I think maybe, you know, if somebody wants to like come into the ice cream section, pull their pants down and just like fuck one of the containers of like Ben and Jerry's, they should be able to do that, Karen.
Mm-mm.
And as long as they Mm-mm. buy the ice cream,
put it like this, you do that on your own goddamn time. I don't care what you do with your sexy time and your food and your ice cream. Do that shit in the privacy of your own home and don't record it and put that bullshit online. Have all the ice cream sex you want to till you get a fucking brain freeze. But once you record it and you put it online and you do it in the stores, I have a problem with it.
I just like that. This is one of those things where I love when life's and it just comes back around to where the fuck I was at. Cause I started on some like, y'all, come on, this is egregious and it's pretty bad and the idea is to go viral and it's gonna get worse.
Right.
And it's also very unsafe. And, you know, and then we find out like a lot of moving parts on that first story. She was underage, which made a ton of sense. She had an overage boyfriend that recorded and put it out, which I still wonder why that hasn't been a bigger deal, but okay.
Right.
Then there were copycats. We also found out that someone made a fake Instagram that made it seem like she was saying she wanted people to get the flu and stuff. Totally understand how people got whipped up in the moment, all this shit. But the people that basically saw a black girl and went, no one should ever go to prison. I said, that's not a tenable position because you don't believe that.
Mm-mm.
And because of how the internet works and how fucking stupid everyone is for these likes and clicks and going viral, some people are gonna keep doing it until you don't have a choice but to be like, okay guys, you were right. People should be in trouble, serious trouble, for doing shit like this. We can't go back to the Tylenol murders, which I mean, a week ago I would have been like, that's so far-fetched. Now I'm like, I can literally see the fucking Tylenol murder shit happening again, because people will be like, I'm gonna keep escalating this shit until I can get like, you know, further. Like, oh, I'm gonna put a cyanide pill in this motherfucking aspirin because I gotta go more viral. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or maybe even let's say they don't do it, but just them being like, look at me tampering with Tylenol, y'all. Ha ha ha, isn't this funny? It's like, okay, now when your ass go to jail for 20 years, cause they fucking told you, don't do that. What am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to really be sitting around like, poor you?
Mm-mm.
You know, this isn't like you made some bad comments 5 years ago and I didn't agree with them, so I'm happy you're in jail. This is like you're endangering the public, or at least making the appearance or the threat of endangering the public. To me, that's kind of, that is against the law, dog.
Right, just like you can't run into a building and yell goddamn fire. You're putting the public safety.
It's not a shitty
danger.
Opinion.
Right. It's not a shitty opinion. And it's similar to the Game of Thrones, because a lot of people who had legit valid reasonings for hating Game of Thrones,
right,
sounded like the nuts. All right. Y'all blended together. Mm-hmm. All y'all sounded the same. And when these people did that petition, everybody was like, whoa, 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 like, I had a problem. But goddamn, I didn't mean for y'all to go this far, and that's what's gonna happen.
Right.
A lot of people think it's still a joke and think it's still a game because ain't nobody quote unquote died yet. But when people start dying and when people start using bodily fluids and all this shit, you know, when your baby dead or your baby sick get listeria and from all this other bullshit, then it's gonna be like, whoa, all the pranks is over. It ain't gonna be pranks no more.
Right. So anyway, I guess I'm just part of the problem. You know, the black people that want to see folks go to jail.
Lock
for every little thing. Because this shit is out of control. Big fat Amazon wedding bride spends just $3,000 on a big day by ordering everything online.
Smart.
Ashley Hicks, who's a newlywed from Raleigh, North Carolina, come on and raise up, take your shirt off, spinning right here like a helicopter, is making waves on social media with her impressive and gorgeous wedding this past June. The reason? She bought almost every item using her wedding off of Amazon.
Correct, because the big gig about weddings, what they don't tell you, mm-hmm. you can purchase something and you tell them it's a wedding, the percentage will fucking go through the roof. It could be the same goddamn item. The same, but nothing changed other than it's a wedding. So it's like it is a wedding tax is thrown on everything. And I said online that the average wedding costs $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know people were all over the place, but that's a true statement. Most people spend that much money. A lot of people go into debt. That's the average. Some going to spend more and some going to spend less. A lot of people spend less, but a lot of people spend a lot of money because you have to think everything, wedding, makes everything. Your regular photographer is one rate, your wedding photographer is another rate. The person that makes your cake for a birthday party and the regular shit is one rate, the second you say it's a wedding, it's double or triple the charges. Like it's designed, it's a big ass trap, because it's like your wedding, your special day, you shouldn't have no limits to what you purchase. And I understand there's people out here and they make a living off of that. I'm not trying to knock the hustle at all, but the hustle is what it is. It's just a big ass hustle because it's wedding.
Yep, and so she got around it by going on Amazon, and I mean the wedding looks good too. Like they got pictures in this. Oh, one of these. It's got pictures in this video I'm showing on the screen, but you can see like it wasn't no like ghetto fabulous quote unquote looking wedding. Like it wasn't janky. The shit looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Because the thing is,
and they black too, by the way.
You know how we do. Yes, and also it's also the thing too is with Amazon you probably could purchase things in bulk and get discounts and all types of shit. Yes, smart.
Yep, she got bridal shower dresses, gifts for in-laws, jewelry, ring bearer gifts, her husband's suspenders, and most importantly her own wedding dress off of Amazon. We had about 150 guests and I probably spent about $3,000 total, including our food, all the attire, decorations, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
When asked if she would recommend her self-proclaimed big fat Amazon wedding to others, she quickly said yes. I still have friends to this day that are engaged and got engaged before we did, but they haven't had a wedding yet because they still saving money. Right. You don't have to do that.
Come on.
I hope they weren't at the wedding and just heard that shade. Damn, sis.
But that's the truth. She was like, you don't have to do that. She's like, I'm just keeping it real. You know what she said? Y'all gonna get a lot of debt because
I agree.
People get married and actually get divorced before they pay the loan off to the wedding.
Just get over yourself, she laughed. And when asked if she had any advice for upcoming newlyweds, get over yourself and don't try to impress all of your guests that are going to be there. At the end of the day, it's you and your husband's day. You two will remember for the rest of your lives. Other people will not.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. They met over Instagram in May 2018 and got married June 8th, 2019. So it can happen, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Keep thirst trapping. It might pop through.
Come on, somebody wrote a good thing. The fat kid deals. Yes, them shits be flame because sometimes I have to scroll past. I'm like, ooh, but gosh, I don't need that shit.
I don't know if they got wedding fat kid deals, but I mean, the Amazon got all kinds of deals.
Mm-hmm.
Go on there for Prime Day. Let's see what's up when they get rid of all that overstock.
Come on.
All right, let's move into a different segment. We'll get to some of this other news another time, but yeah, I thought that was interesting, you know, especially as you said, in light of the fact that the average wedding does cost nearly $30,000 in the U.S. So she said $27,000 as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, and that's the average. A lot of people spend less. You have people to spend more, but that's literally the average. And you know, it's very expensive. Like if that's what you want to do, do you. But you know, going into debt, you basically taking out a student loan in marriage, you know, and that's why a lot of people put marriage off and shit like that, because you know, they're like, I got student loan debt, I can't take on more debt. you know, that shit is real. I remember when we would get married, my mama didn't want to do some shit. I looked at them like, save all, but this is just me, y'all. I was like, no, save all you money. No, you ain't got the cater shit. Nope, I'm good.
Yeah, we didn't have a wedding. We went to the Justice of Peace, you know, but as always, I always tell people, if Karen would have wanted a wedding, then we would have had one. Like, it's really, what I mean by that is, it's up to the person you marry. Y'all fucking know, because I would hate to do is to go cheap or to do something where this is a big deal to the person I'm with, and they're gonna resent me forever for fucking up this day or not giving them the day that they dreamed about. So, you know, it's really a matter of communication and knowing what you're getting into before this, you know. And plus, it's a shit ton of people that had expensive ass weddings, and as Karen said, they ain't together right now.
They not
still paying off weddings for a motherfucking marriage that is gone. So yes,
paying off wedding fees and divorce fees at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said before, to each his own. And there's nothing wrong with if you want to go all out. Like, if you can afford it, do it. Save up for it. Handle you. But
it's don't be resenting.
Right, but that's the thing. Know your mate. Mm-hmm. Your mate may or may not want to do this.
Yeah, don't be resenting motherfuckers for the rest of your life because you lied about not wanting a wedding and
shit. Come on.
That's crazy to me. Alright. Next segment.
We're just fucking with those black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe, find different articles to make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, or your cars, in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, everybody. Let's see what you got for us today. American Airlines is in the news. They issued an apology to a black woman for forcing her to cover up on a flight. That's right. She had too much of that black, beautiful skin showing. And they said, ma'am, this is a goddamn airline, okay?
Have y'all seen people get on airplanes?
Not a strip club.
Have on.
American Airlines issued an apology to an African-American doctor who was threatened by a flight attendant that she would get kicked off her flight if she didn't cover up her strapless romper. It's a romp. When did rompers become?
It came from because it's on a black body,
right? Don't it feel like this is one of those black women are curvy, we gonna have to shut this down because you're making my dick do things and it's your fault?
Correct, because it's summertime, people come in flip-flops. People come, you know, sleeveless, like midriffs. I mean, it's fucking 110 degrees outside. You have all types of, and she paid for the fucking ticket. She didn't come out there in a bathing suit and butt ass naked. What are we talking about?
And
here?
The flight was from Jamaica to Miami, so you know it was hot.
You know it was cooking.
You know it was hot. She tweeted June 30th that she had to cover up her clothes on a flight from Jamaica to Miami with her 8-year-old son because her outfit was distracted to the flight crew. 8-year-old son. Distracted to the flight crew. What was the flight crew? Ma'am, I can't stop jacking my dick. I'm gonna need you to just, can you put on this blanket? I'm sorry. It's just, as a flight attendant, I have never dealt with anything like this before.
And my thing is, as many people that I see all the time, and I guarantee you, she's not the only woman they've seen in the form of a romper.
Right.
You know, and I think, like I say, it's the curse. Because I guarantee you, a white woman walk up in there and nobody's going to say shit to her. They're going to let her ass sit down, run through the flight, and nothing would ever happen. And the thing is, y'all do know these shit causes problems for you doing this shit. Unless they, like, violate one of y'all major rules, leave people the fuck alone.
She said she was told if she didn't comply, she and her son would not be allowed to fly. Rose said she was approached by a flight attendant who asked her to leave the plane. They then discussed her attire, and she said the flight attendant asked if she had a jacket to cover up because the romper didn't have straps and her shoulders were showing. Shoulders. Is this motherfucking Protestant New England? Like, are the Salem witch trials about to begin? What? Shoulders? Ma'am, I saw some ankle. A lady would never, okay? I'm gonna need you to cover those up. What? Shoulders. In 2019. Shoulders. just happened to be a black woman. Feeling humiliated, she said she used a blanket to cover up for the duration of the flight, but she took to Twitter in a new viral post that showed the outfit that was an issue. Yeah, the other thing I would add to this too, I am one of these people that absolutely would have like acquiesced for my flight, and maybe I would have said something when I hit the ground at home, but I would have did what it took to get on the plane, you know.
And like, they knew this, that's right. Why they fucking did it,
right? Because if not, then you know you're inconvenienced doubly now, you know. Like, yeah, you proved your point, but we got all the power, you ain't getting home on the time. So I hope you have a long,
you'll miss your connections
to fuck over your day until you get another flight that you know you can get a seat on,
right?
With your son, by the way, with your son. Yeah, so good luck with your bags and all that type of shit. Mm-hmm. You're fucked now, because I had the power to do it, and I'm just a little bit of power I have in my life, and I'm gonna fucking exercise it over you.
Right.
I'm disgusted, she wrote on Twitter. I'm tweeting so I won't cry. Seriously, my heart hurts. Just before boarding, I posted my trip was unforgettable. Now it's even more unforgettable, but not in a good way. My automatic mommy protective mode started. I'm like, how do I fix it? I don't want to be in this situation. I want this done. Yeah, and I don't blame her. Like we always try to make people feel bad for not being like Harriet fucking Tubman or some shit, but right. Black people just be trying to get from point A to point B, man.
Yeah, they was like, I deal with everything on the back end. If I gotta sue you, whatever, we'll do that after I get out of your safety.
Yeah, I love her Twitter handle, says Tisha Rowe MDMBA, because they fuck with the wrong one.
Yes, they thought she was a regular ass nigga. I'm
they
not
don't
trying
know
to be funny.
It is like a bylaw of blackness at this point that every black woman got like 3 degrees. I don't even know how they do it. You just be talking to them, they be like, yeah, and that's when I got my third degree in engineering. You're like, what?
And I'm going to also get my certificate in this, my certification in this.
Right. It's like, that's all they do. Like, where do you find the time? I got 1 degree. I was like, I'm out the game. Oh, I didn't think I'd get this one.
I must be lazy because I was like, I'm out the game too.
Yeah. All the black women got their certification, PhD.
I mean, MD. I thought about it, but I was like, more debt.
I guess it's when a nigga ain't wasting your time, just go out and be bad.
All right, be the baddest bitch right. You can.
It's like, I'm gonna just go be a bad bitch because these niggas be taking too long. American Airlines has a policy called contract of carriage that mandates customers dress appropriately, bare feet or offensive clothing aren't allowed. But there's no clear example of what kind of clothing can be deemed offensive. Exactly.
Right. People, I've seen people in fucking flip flops and open toed shoes, all types of shit coming on the airplane.
And we've seen shit where they were like, this person's Black Panther shirt, like the comic book, was inappropriate.
The fucking comic book, y'all.
Like, this is ridiculous. We were concerned. American Airlines sent a statement to people apologizing for the incident. We were concerned about Dr. Rowe's comments and reached out to her and our team in Kingsport Airport to gather more information about what occurred. We apologize to Dr. Rowe and her son for their experience, and we have fully refunded their travel. We're proud to serve customers of all backgrounds and committed to providing a positive, safe travel experience for everyone who flies with us.
But their thing is, it shouldn't have fucking happened in the first place.
She also accused him of body shaming. She went the extra mile. As a mother, my body has changed dramatically. Those changes mean more curves. It took time for me to appreciate them, only to be shamed for them, and even worse, tell my son to be ashamed of my body as well. # body shaming. Yep, y'all fuck with the wrong one. She got it all in there. Oh, this her?
Mm-hmm. That's not wrong with that outfit.
Not a damn thing. Okay.
She fooled.
Yeah, it's cause she thick. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, ma'am. All that ass should be illegal. I'm gonna need you to cover it up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here at American Airlines, we do not get down with the clown, okay?
Come on, if it'd been Becky, Jan, right. Fran, Amy,
I bet
we
was a white
had a problem.
I bet it was like a white woman sitting right next to her, but it was a whole lot of slack in them pants. It was like, that's fine, ma'am. Yeah, like she's just sitting there like, well, do you want me to get off the plane to cover up too? Because I mean, you know, I'm probably too sexy, right? And they're like, no, ma'am, you're fine. Please sit down. But I mean, listen, I'm basically wearing a thong, ma'am. You have nothing that we are, there's nothing to see. Okay. Just please sit all the way in your seat. Okay.
You're fine.
If you don't just slide out of your seat, please, ma'am. Okay. Yeah. This is bullshit, man. Zero to 100.
100. And they know it. That's why they refunded her money and all that shit. Cause they trying to prevent a lawsuit.
Yeah. And shout out to the trolls on Twitter who had horrible responses. Yeah. I would say 100 as well. That's ridiculous. Let's see what else happened. Oh man, so a white YouTube employee in a viral video posted apology for calling the police on a black man visiting his building. A white YouTube employee was seen in a viral video calling 911 on a black man visiting his building has apologized. The video features Christopher Cucker's young son begging him not to call the police. It's made rounds on social media as Wesley Mitchell, guilty of visiting while black, predicted in the video that he shot. Cucker became the subject of intense backlash. Mitchell was paying a visit to a friend who lives in Cucker's building. Cucker sounds a lot like cuckold, but okay, he is a cuck though. After the furor that was unleashed, Cucker was compelled to write an apology and publish it on Medium. He said, widespread reaction has upended my life in unexpected ways. Here they go. Yeah,
you could have fucking kept trucking. You harassed them.
This shit where motherfuckers do something racist and get every opportunity to stop and just will not listen and then go, I'm now the victim. This has really affected the way I live. And it's like, you could have not been racist and nothing would have, you would have been fine.
You would have kept, keep it trucking.
Unfortunately, this is a terrible pattern of people calling authorities regarding people of color for no other reason than race, he wrote. The last thing I ever intended to do was echo that history, and I'm sorry my actions caused Wesley to feel unfairly targeted because of his race. Cucker said the day was unremarkable until the time of the encounter, he wrote, that he was taking his son to a friend's house. I noticed Wesley Mitchell, caught the door, entered the building without using the call box. I did what came naturally and asked where he was going. I want to be clear on this point. This is something I do regularly, regardless of who the other person is. He said, when the encounter turned confrontational, I couldn't resolve myself or call the police. Cucker then went into his own personal history, saying his father was murdered outside his home in Berkeley, California, 2012 by a trespasser. I believe people are good at heart. I hope Wesley will read this and understand my history as I have tried to understand his. The video has been viewed a million times. Yeah. Yeah. 0 to 100.
100. And I'm sorry that happened, baby, but that don't got nothing to do with you being racist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it don't. Like, it, you know, I have compassion for that because I can understand you asking, but you also have to look at the dynamics of the situation and for the fact that you thought it escalated enough to call the police. Odds are, nobody knows what was said. He might have been like, who the fuck you talking to, or something like that. And you know, and it looked like the baby was like, don't call, because children are traumatized by what they see on TV and family members and shit getting locked up, getting shit, getting shot and dying. You don't know how many children seen the videos of Tamir Rice and all these young children dying on TV and videos, because children see these things too, not just adults. So it's one of those things where you didn't give a fuck, you gave zero fucks, because it was more important that you call 911 than actually trying to hear him out. You know why you see his perspective? Because you had to. You know why you understand? Because you was forced to. That's why.
Yeah, the reason I was thinking wasn't about what you were saying. I wasn't trying to say like, oh, Karen gave it 100, let me think why that's wrong. No, these are individual scores.
Mm-hmm.
I was stopping to think about how tough that situation is, losing your dad.
Agreed.
To a stranger who was hanging around a house and, you know, killed somebody you love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, empathetically as an empath, I do feel for that man.
Right.
I understand that, you know, that's a nightmare. I can't imagine that. That's mm-hmm. a nightmare. Someone killed one of my parents randomly like that, it would fuck me up forever. I would never be the same. That being said, and I don't want to sound cold, that's not my fucking problem. And I don't want to sound cold, but that's the truth. Your trauma does not become everybody else's responsibility to handle. You know, I feel like we've gone too far with that shit already in general. You know, with a lot of stuff that people promise and can't deliver on, a lot of stuff people say they, you know, expect out of folks that's not really reasonable. But in this case, it's a horrible ordeal that I can't even imagine having to go through. You can't walk the earth deciding for everyone else that since this happened to your father, you're gonna be the guy who calls the cops on anyone you don't know around your building. You know, is, you know,
security, they got security for a reason.
I know he says that other people, I know he says he does this to everybody, and maybe he does.
I believe he does.
For what we know what happened to this guy. And then when we're talking about that trauma, well, what's more traumatic than black life in America? I can't walk around. This world doesn't allow me to walk around and put my trauma first ahead of everybody else's and be like, hey, y'all have to bow down to what I want. Okay? Like, I can never walk into a place and be like, guys, I don't trust random white people. I need every white person in here to pull out their ID and show me what's up. You know? Like, I don't know if the person that harmed his father was black or not or whatever, but just the idea of this happened to me, so I get to do this forever now. Nah, you don't. And I'm sorry, but that's just life. You know, like I said, I don't mean to sound cold. I hope I'm not coming off callous, but you know, fam, you can't, the rest of everyone else in this world that has had some shitty stuff happen to them, while we can protect ourselves, we don't get to then fuck with people who have not done anything. And they just gotta understand. And they gotta put everything about them, like black people getting their fucking IDs and their right to be places checked at every fucking interval. They gotta put that to the side for you. Your own son said don't do it. You know, like, he had every opportunity to stop and he didn't. And I can't divorce that from the race. I can't. I would like to be able to just hit the switch and be like, it probably wasn't even about race. But much like that white woman that followed that dude up the elevator to his apartment, I don't have that luxury. I don't have that goodwill in me to go, yeah, probably nothing to do with this person being black. Some people can do that. I know women that were saying they were more like on the side of that woman for protecting her safety. I wonder where they would fall on this, because this is a man. But still, you know, I know people that would go, hey, you can't prove that this man wasn't just protecting his neighborhood, that this wasn't what they were instructed to do, you know, question people that come in without visitor pass and shit. I know that that's what people say, but I don't know, man. I hate that happened to that dude, but no, you don't get to do that to other people because something bad happened to you, you know. And we don't afford that luxury to other people either. If women who have been sexually assaulted or people that have been sexually assaulted were just walking around like, the new rules are every man in here gotta leave until I feel comfortable, we would laugh at. We were like, no, you just gonna have to get over what happened to you. That's what we do.
That's exactly what we do.
You just gonna have to get over it. I'm not the one that did it.
Unwritten rule, as fucked up as it is, yes.
Like, only certain people of privilege get to put their trauma and go, hey, something traumatic happened to me, so I'm navigating the earth like this, and y'all better deal with it. So yeah, I don't know what he means by his life being upended. I can imagine it probably isn't good.
Yeah, he may have lost his YouTube job.
Maybe, I don't know, but that would have been in the article if he lost the job. So
okay,
yeah, I give it 100, man, and I'm sorry that happened to him.
Right, but I do have compassion for that.
But we as black people are not. No, you don't just get to do that. All right, let's play some Guess the Race.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land, where we read different articles from all over the globe and we ask Karen and the chat room to guess the race of the people involved. And of course, everybody playing is a racist. Yeah, someone said in the chat, homie just gotta get therapy or something. That's not a reasonable thing to do. Alright, let's get into this. An Illinois mother is accused of driving with kids on the top of her SUV in an inflatable pool.
What?
Yeah.
Did it have water in it or whatever they're baking?
I guess you could say they were carpooling.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Did somebody call a poober? That one's not as good, sorry. A woman in Illinois was arrested Tuesday after authorities say she was spotted driving with her kids sitting inside an inflatable pool on top of her vehicle.
Jennifer A. Janice Yeager, 49, was pulled over after a concerned citizen spotted the kids on the top of the Audi and alerted authorities. During the course of the investigation, it was learned that Yeager drove into town to inflate the pool at a friend's house and had her two juvenile daughters ride inside the empty pool to hold it down on their drive home. Yeager was arrested on 2 counts of endangering the health and life of a child, 2 counts of reckless conduct, and was cited for failure to secure a passenger. She has since been released after posting bond. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What?
The wind could have got that thing and just blew them kids the fuck out of there.
Like someone just slips off and now they dead or something?
Right!
Wow, that's insane. Alright, anyway, Karen, guess the race.
Oh, white, white. All
right, check the chat room and see what they believe, guys. Black, white. Officer, I don't see what the problem is. White, white water rafting. Ha! That's some white nonsense. White, they will get in the pool to take a bath because that's what they do. White, wow. Becky with the unwashed legs. White, wow. White, she owned an Audi. White. The correct answer is, and only one person went black. But the correct answer is white. And the person that went black.
Oh no. Should I say white niggas don't swim in a regular pool, not let alone a carpool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, she didn't even strap it.
Mm-hmm. She's gonna make it. She probably made a big splash down at the jail.
Ah, that's good.
Mm-mm-mm. That's ridiculous. Mm-mm-mm. Let's go to the next one. Man, times can't never be that hard. Okay? Like, get you some rope. What happened to holding one arm out the window? What, like?
Yeah, that's what people do, yeah. Yeah, and I've even been in cars, so I could actually see the street up underneath me, yeah, so.
Yeah.
But I was in the car, my nigga.
Yeah, that's a lot. A woman shoots her husband while trying to shoot someone else in a road rage incident. Mm. Oh, man. A Coleman County woman was behind bars at authorities say she accidentally shot her husband while trying to shoot someone else. Sheriff Matt Gentry said the incident happened about 6:45 p.m. on Saturday in a road rage incident on Alabama 69 in Dodge City. Sounds like her husband should have dodged.
Come on. Mm-hmm. That bullet had his name on it.
Mm-hmm. The dispute carried over to a home on County Road. Oh, well, when at least it wasn't old, was it Old Country Road?
Old Town Road.
Old Town Road? At least it wasn't Old Town Road. Mm-hmm. Authorities said Erica Cole attempted to shoot a second party, but instead struck her husband, Nicholas Cole, who was shot in the head and is reportedly in stable. He's reportedly in stable condition.
Oh!
She was arrested on charges of attempted murder, second degree assault, and reckless endangerment. Who's gonna take care of her husband now? She's being held without bond. Gentry said additional details.
Oh, she ain't got no kids. They losing both of their parents.
I know. To some stupidity. Karen, guess the race.
Oh, white. We on Old Town Road.
Yeah. I guess they're going to be headed to a divorce. Oh, wait. I meant. All right. You get it. all right. I guess now she's the head of the household.
Yes, she is now.
Oh man, I cracked me up. His ride or die chick, black. The leg maybe counseling, but the head, okay. White. Carrie, you went with white.
Mm-hmm.
The correct answer is white. Couple of y'all went black on that one. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I bet they won't be having sex anytime soon.
Mm-mm.
He gonna be like, not tonight, I have a headache.
Oh no.
That's her. Looking guilty as hell.
Oh, she did that.
Worried about her husband. What the fuck could have been the rage? Like, road rage is already a thing I don't do.
Come on.
But like, in this case, what the fuck? You were going to kill somebody with a gun. You were shooting bullets. What the fuck could have been the problem? Nigga didn't signal a turn, so now they gotta die?
I sentence you to death.
Some of you motherfuckers are crazy with your cars. I'm so chill in my car. Like, you ain't got to do much for me, man.
I just want to get home safe. And actually, I want you to get wherever you getting safe too.
Man, sometimes, like, so you ever have a, one time I had an incident where I accidentally cut a dude off or something. Mm-hmm. And the nigga looked at me and then, like, lifted his shirt like I got a gun. I said, bruh, I don't, I'm sorry. Like, what the fuck? I don't want to die over this shit.
Mm-mm, please go on down the road.
My fault? What the fuck is wrong with people? All right, let's go to the bonus round real quick.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right, double the points, double the race, and the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2. A very rare 2 for 2 going into the bonus round. Can she get to the weekend? 3 for 3.
I'm gonna try.
All right, here we go. A man masturbates in a woman's yard after she rejects his offer to do yard work.
Mm. He's getting a little bit of fertilizer?
I guess so. I was thinking that he just wanted to get a yard some trim. I mean, I've heard of a weed whacker, but this guy was whacking off. What has happened to the end of this show?
I don't know.
A South Carolina man who masturbated in a woman's yard after she declined his offer to rake the leaves was arrested Sunday. Sean Demetrius Clark went to a Spartanburg home Sunday morning and approached a woman.
South Carolina.
Approached a woman who was outside with her dog and offered to do yard work. Police said in a news release. The woman said she was not interested, but gave the 46-year-old Spartanburg man water in a styrofoam cup after he asked for a drink, according to the news release. She told police she thought Clark would leave because she was getting ready for church. But after walking to the neighboring yard, he returned to the back steps, according to the release. From inside the home, the woman's daughter said she saw Clark masturbate. When he was finished with the sex act, Clark tried to jump a fence in the backyard, but fell and was soon taken into custody by the police.
He got them after cum legs.
And I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for, mm-hmm. wasn't for you darn fences.
Mm-hmm. Got them wicked and easy, couldn't quite make that jump.
Wasn't for that meddling kid watching me jack off, call 911. Clark refused to cooperate. Declining to give officers his name and was unruly and passively resisted being cuffed.
I mean, nigga, your DNA's on my grass.
Yeah, you're right, Karen. There's no way you're hopping a fence with after cum legs.
No, you're not!
Period. I don't even want to, like, get
I'm
up.
I'm not even a man and I know that much.
Right. Like, I don't even like getting up to get the towel after sex. I do it because I'm a gentleman. But I don't even like doing it. It's like, oh God, which of us is going to get the motivation to move?
Yeah, he was feeling lightheaded and shit and jumped that fence and miscalculated.
It's like,
and he probably laid there till the cops came.
It's like, let me just lay here just for a second and reflect on life. And instead he had to hop a fence. Police then discovered Clark's shorts were unzipped and his genitals were exposed.
Duh! I told you he laid there. After he missed that fence, he said, fuck it.
What kind of yard work was he about to do? He was arrested and taken to Spartanburg County Detention Center where he's charged with sexual exposure. He remains in behind bars. His bond was set at $5,000 for the indecent act jail, record show. Well, look, I think we all agree. no one should ever go to jail. So I don't know why they put this man in there.
Lock him up.
Prison abolitionist. And me agree that he is should be a free man. Just give him a slight rap on the wrist and say, buddy, no more jerking it around children in their backyards. Okay, all right. Well, he was trying to do some yard work, Karen. Maybe he was just looking for a hoe. Just trying to plant some seeds.
That's a good one too.
All right, Karen.
He was trying to. He had his own form of miracle grow. Oh, that's good.
All right, Karen. Guess the race of Sean Demetrius Clark.
Oh, he was black because she was on her way to the Ebenezer Baptist Holiness faith rock on the corner church. And he was fucking up her time.
Let's see. Black weed whacker, nasty ass nigga. Black wanted to fertilize her flower bed by spreading his seed around, but got caught because of his sagging pants hopping the fence. Black stroking his MC Hammer. Black just wanted to say, hey, Miss Parker. Black. The correct answer is, you guys all got it. Black. Maybe that's what he considered yard work.
What, and my thing is, she was nice enough to give him water where he could have enough energy to jack off.
Right. He said, good, now I'll be hydrated to get this these balls and some juice loose.
Right.
Okay. And you know it was hot as hell because it was South Carolina in June.
Yes, it's smoking. It's hot in North Carolina, but it is smoking down in South Carolina.
You gotta really want to jack off if you jacking off at fucking 105 degrees.
Come on, that humidity
outside in the backyard of somebody else. Damn. All right, let's get to the last thing, guys. Let's do some sword ratchetness. Sword Ratchetness is a segment where we talk about sword crimes and people that have swords and the danger they present to society in a country that doesn't really regulate weapons unless they're guns, which we barely regulate already. If we don't start with the swords, how are we going to ever get gun control with no sword control?
Right.
And today, it's a sad day for a lot of people. I tried to give this man a chance in 2020. I don't want to walk into the primaries or any preconceived notions, but Bernie Sanders shows off sword Ross Perot gave him.
Oh no.
Yeah, Ross Perot died Tuesday at 89 years old.
Oh, that man been around forever.
Yeah, he's a billionaire businessman. Many people thought he was already dead.
I did too. He ran for president several times, didn't he?
Yeah, I think twice. He was a third party presidential candidate. He gifted an Excalibur like sword to the Vermont senator for his work on the veterans bill. And Bernie Sanders said Ross Perot was a champion for veterans' rights and ahead of his time on the disastrous trade policies. During his campaign, he explained in depth how he would address our national problems and spur serious discussion. Ross Perot was one of a kind American. He will be missed. And Sanders joked in a 2015 interview about the sword hanging on his office wall. On his office wall, y'all, this is the man y'all want to be president, which came with a plaque that features a quote from Sir Winston Churchill: never give in, never give in, never, never, never. Yeah, that's the problem with these sword motherfuckers. You gotta give in sometimes. That's why y'all be getting crimes and going to prison and shit, fucking up your loved ones. Sometimes you gotta give in. Nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That is from Ross Perot. Sanders said, he said, when media gives you a problem, take it out, threaten them. Threaten the media? Bro, you sound like Trump. This motherfucker had a sword and was talking about threatening the media, and y'all wanted me to vote for him, and this is in 2015 he admitted this bullshit. The audacity of y'all. The all goddamn audacity.
Oh, he's still living to run.
this should be disqualifying, right? On his face. To me, this is up there with grabbing pussies. This is that almost. It's like right below that. It should disqualify you. Disqualify you from a presidential run for the White House. Nobody want a motherfucking White House with a sword in it. This is fucking, this ain't the fucking, the 16th century Japan. What are you doing? Disgusting. That's the dude, y'all, the progressive line. That dude. With a goddamn sword on the wall. Oh my God. Alright, y'all. Don't write in, guys. I would still vote for him if he wins the primary, okay? I know that's all y'all care about. The six white people that listen to this show. So don't write me no long ass emails I don't want to read, okay? Alright, y'all. We'll be back on Saturday. until then. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Yeah.